this one, I can give you the first passage, but we're going to hit a couple tonight. This one, well, first passage when we get going. There's going to be quite a few. So this is going to be more of a subject tonight than, but we're going to dig in. And we kind of hit this in Sunday school the other day. If you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, that's where we'll start. We kind of hit this as we were a couple weeks ago. We've been going through Revelation, and we went to, started the church letters, and we were in Revelation chapter 3, and we hit a verse. And that sort of stopped us and kind of shifted us in a different direction. And we got into some discussion. And it was one of those things that it's a topic that, you know, I think it takes. It was hard for me to say all the things that were in my head without any notes. So I did some studying on it. And I want to talk about some of the warnings that the Bible has for walking away from the faith. You know, it is one of those topics that, you know, it is debated among churches, and there's some different views. But I just want to look and see what the Bible says. You know, if I try to stay away from opinions as much as I can. I know we have them, and I know things will come in, you know, but we try to, you know, when you think about doctrine, when you think about what God's Word, or when you think about what God expects and different things like that, we try to go solely on God's Word. So I just want to present what God's Word has, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, this is one of those things that I tried to emphasize in Sunday school the other day. This is not one of those things that we disfellowship over. This is not something that we choose to, you know, not, if you don't believe the same way, you're out of here. You know, this is not one of those things, you know. But I think it's important to see what God's Word has, because there are a lot of verses that talk about, that give warnings. And if there are warnings in God's Word, I want to make sure that people heed the warning. So let's start out with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. Thank you for its truth. And Lord, I know this is a harder topic, Lord, but I pray that you would show us through your Word tonight, and through your Holy Spirit would help teach us tonight. And Lord, that we can take heed and see what your Word has for us today. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. Lord, I ask that you'd use me to preach and get me out of the way at the same time. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So number one, I'm going to give you three verses that we agree on. And that's one of the key things, is even when we talk about whether you can walk away from the faith or not, whether you can, you know, whether you can be saved and then not saved later, there's some things that we agree on regardless of the views. And here's one of them. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves; it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are not saved by works. We are not saved by anything we can do. There's no ritual we can go through. No baptism, no church membership, no crawling on our knees upstairs in Italy or anything like that, making yourself a monk. You just come up with the million things that religion has decided that will work your way to heaven, and none of those work. The Bible says it is a gift of God, because if we could work our way to heaven, we would boast about it. We'd get proud about it, because it's me getting myself there. Aren't you glad it's not us? It's what Jesus Christ did. Praise God. So we believe that. We don't earn our salvation by works, and we don't keep it by works either. That's something important to remember. You know, nothing that we are continuing to do for the Lord, that is because He created us in His workmanship. We love the Lord, and it is our duty as a Christian to serve the Lord. We're not paying Him back, because we never could. Now, here's another one. Romans 6:23. These are common verses. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know what salvation is? It's not just for a little bit or just a temporary thing. It is designed to be eternal life. Not just this life, but the next life as well. And then finally, Jesus said this in John 10:28. 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here's another thing. Nobody can take away your salvation. I cannot take your salvation away from you. You can't take it away from me. Guess what? There's no devil that can do that either. Or he would if he could. Yeah. If he could rob us of our salvation. Yeah. If he could bring us into condemnation after Jesus took us out, which he can, he would do that. But aren't you glad that even when he is the accuser of the brethren, even when he's telling God everything that we do wrong, isn't it great that God, all he's got to do is check the Lamb's Book of Life and see our name there. Covered by the blood, sins forgiven. So we know this, salvation's a gift from God, not by works. It's eternal life. No man can steal it. But let's look at some of the warnings. Colossians 1:22, this is the first place we'll look. Colossians 1:22 and 23 says this, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Listen to 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. So he is saying, listen, that same faith that you trusted in with Jesus Christ, that same gospel that you put your faith in to ask Jesus to save your soul, he is telling us we need to continue in that faith. You know what that means? You don't replace salvation through Jesus with salvation through something else. That's what he's saying. You got to continue believing that Jesus is your way to salvation. We can't replace the faith with something else, because that's what he's saying. If you continue in the faith, not that you live a perfect life, that's impossible. Not as if we always do what God's asked us to do. We'll never, again, that's impossible. But what is he saying when he says the faith, when he's talking right here, he's saying the faith that saved you, the faith that changed your life, the faith that brought you into this Christian life, if you have to continue in that faith and be not moved away from what? The hope of the gospel which you have heard and has been preached to every creature. That tells me there's a danger. If there's a warning and there's an if, there's a danger there that a Christian who once trusted in Jesus for salvation and trusted in Jesus for eternal life would later place their trust in something else. And remember, Paul's saying this warning, but it's through the Holy Spirit that's warning us. And you know what that tells me? We've got to stay rooted and grounded in God's word. And not only that, rooted and grounded in the gospel. We can't act like at first Jesus saved me and now I'm saving myself. It's Jesus.
That's right.
And if it's impossible to walk away from the faith or impossible to replace the faith in Jesus Christ with something else, then why does it say, if ye continue? It might not be likely, but I'm telling you, it's possible for every one of us to walk away from the faith in Jesus Christ. So now, here's the next one. John chapter 8. In verse 30, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people that believed on him. So this is people that believed. He had some hard preaching in John chapter 8. He had some hard preaching in some of the previous chapters. But now he's got a group of people that believed on him, that believe what he says, trust that he's God, all those things. John 8:30 says this, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, these are believers, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus is talking to a group of people that believes in him, that believes in his teachings for salvation, but he's saying that there are ones that will continue in my word, and then those are ones that won't. Right? There's a split there. There's ones that will, again, trust Jesus at his word, that he is God, and will trust, and he's talking to Jews specifically, because there's a group that would really just walk away from all of those false things that weren't needed anymore in Judaism, and they would put their faith in the Messiah that everything was pointing to anyway, but then there were other ones that would start out that way. And then they would go right back to every single Jewish ritual.
And that's what he's saying, if you continue. Because there was a danger to go right back to that. Why was there a danger? Because they knew if they accepted Christ, they would be kicked out of the temple. They'd probably, family would disown them and everything else. Life would be harder. That's what we've seen. Why do you think there were secret disciples? Because life was harder. They lost positions of power and everything. But he's saying, if you just continue. Because there are ones that wouldn't.
Amen.
There's one. You know what that tells me? To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we've got to continue in His Word.
Yes.
That's why we preach it so often, that we've got to get in His Word. Why? Because that is the truth. That's the key. That tells us what God expects of us. And we can't give up. Right? We can't stop digging into God's Word. You and I will never get to a point in our life where we've made it. Heaven forbid one of us says, you know what, I'm not going to Sunday school because I've heard enough stuff over the years. I just know what they're going to say already. Heaven forbid, you know, even if a young preacher is preaching, that we would say, nah, there's no sense going, you know, because I've already heard it all and read it all and everything else. I tell you what, we're in danger if we get to that point. We're in danger. We cannot stop if you continue in my word. And now a couple chapters over, John chapter 15, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking again. Very common passage. And you might have missed it in this. But John 15, 4 through 6, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Now if it stopped there, that would be wonderful. It's a good reminder right there that without abiding in Jesus Christ, we can't do anything. There is no fruit outside of that. But then verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So when Jesus talks about abiding in me, he's saying that there are some that will abide and some that won't abide. Well, you know what that word means? Abide just doesn't mean at a single point in time to dwell. What it says is to abide means to dwell continually. To keep dwelling, to stay in Jesus Christ, to continue in Christ. Now when you think about that, he's saying, continue in me and I in you. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that continues in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If a man doesn't continue in me, he's cast forth. Again, start off with Christ, but then not abide. And what's he say? Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Those branches get tossed into the fire. And I'll tell you what, we've got to abide. We sing that song, "He Abides," but it's true. We've got to dwell right where Jesus wants us. We've got to dwell in His Word. We've got to dwell in that communication of prayer with God. We've got to get as close as we can and do what God tells us to do with His strength and His grace and His wisdom. And when we do those things, God will bring forth fruit, because we cannot bear fruit of ourselves, but through Him we can bear a whole bunch of fruit.
Yes.
So that talks about, those are three verses right there, that if.
Yeah.
Now let's flip over to where we were at, Revelation 3:5. This is what kind of started the conversation the other day in Sunday school. The book of Sardis, the end of the letter to the church of Sardis, Revelation 3:5 says this, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." See, you could read that verse a couple different ways. You could say, well, Mike, what he's saying is I'll never blot a name out of the book of life. But what you're missing is he's only making that promise to the overcomers. Just like every one of the church letters ends with, here's the overcomers and here's God's promise, Jesus' promise to the overcomers. And see, he's telling Sardis earlier, he says that you're dead. And he tells them, here's what I want you to do. You're a dead church. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. You see what he's saying to Sardis? He says, listen, this is a dead church. And it wasn't dead because they didn't have the right programs. It wasn't dead because they didn't have, all kinds of things going on. In fact, he says that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. He said on the outside it looked like a thriving church, but Jesus said on the inside, I can see the hearts and the minds, and I see a dead church. Why? Remember, therefore, here's how they fix it, how thou hast received. You know what he's saying? Remember the faith that started this church in Jesus Christ. Yeah. How thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. You see what he's saying? You started out doing things by faith in Jesus Christ. You've stopped. You need to get back. And that will change the church from being dead to alive. Isn't that true today? There are denominations out here that used to be on fire, that used to preach the truth, that used to really, really, there'd be great revivals of the past. You go into those churches now, and it is so far from that. It is so dead. What do they say? Icicles in the choir and a popsicle behind the pulpit and everything else. If the Lord came in there, it'd scare them all to death. You know, all those jokes that we make, but it's true. You know, it'd be a good funeral, but they're missing the body. I mean, it's that dead, literally. You go into these places and you think, how on earth could a few, could 100 years ago this church be on fire? I'll tell you how they did it. They replaced putting their faith in Jesus Christ, and they put it in something else. They have changed today. Instead of Jesus saving your soul because you're a sinner, they're saying, you know what? We need to save this world, right? We need to save the racial inequality. We need to save the gender inequality and everything else, and that will save this world. No, sir, I'll tell you what will save this world. It's Jesus Christ, and that's it. They look alive, but they're dead, just like Sardis. They're dead. They've been founded on the life-giving faith of Jesus. They replaced it with some dead faith, something else. Jesus tells them to repent, or their names will be blotted out of the book of life. Now, you may say, now, Mike, I don't believe that he would do that. Okay, well, that's an opinion. The Old Testament, you remember the story, Exodus 32? Remember they made a golden calf, right? While Moses was gone, you remember that story? They started worshiping it as their God. They said, this is what brought us out of Egypt, right? You remember that? You know what God said to Moses? Exodus 32, verse 33, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. He said that. You know why he said that? Because that group traded their faith in the God of Israel, the deliverer that brought them out of Egypt, that the Passover lamb, the one that crossed them across the Red Sea, the one that delivered them from the Egyptians, that God, the God that was true and real, and they substituted that faith for a golden calf. And he said, I'm blotting every one of them out. Yep. That doesn't turn from that. Well, Mike, that's the Old Testament. Okay. Revelation 22, verse 19.
Come on.
And if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And just in case you're wondering, Revelation chapters 20 and 21 talks about the people that are 20 is those that aren't in the book, what happens to them. Chapter 21 is those that are in the Lamb's Book of Life, what happens to him. I'll give you cliff notes. 20, they go to the pit, everlasting judgment, and they're done. And then in 21, those that are in the Lamb's Book of Life go to heaven for eternity. That's it. And God's saying in 22:19, if you take words out of this thing, if you start pulling it apart, and I thought, why is God so concerned about someone taking things out of the book of Revelation? And then I realized, one of the guys I really like that's done a lot of studying of Revelation, he says that the book of Revelation has the clearest picture of Jesus Christ throughout any book in the Bible. And I thought, my goodness, that's quite a claim. And I'm telling you, it tells us a lot about who Jesus is. And he's saying, if you take things out of that, I'm taking you out of the book. Guess what? Everyone's name does not start in the Lamb's Book of Life. It gets there only through salvation in Jesus Christ. So in that warning, he's saying, your name was in there and I'm taking it out. Man, I don't know if I've ever heard this before. I don't know. I've heard differently. Well, that's okay. That's okay if you've heard differently. We're just seeing what God's word says. That's all. 2 Peter chapter 2. The whole chapter deals with false teachers. And near the end, it gives the dangers of falling away from the true faith and following after the false doctrine of these false teachers. 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21 says this. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Yeah.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You know what he's saying? Number one, there's a danger there. Paul, again, Peter spends that whole chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2, the whole thing, warning about false teachers. There's a danger there that we could go from the true doctrine, the true word of God, to false teaching. There's a danger. And he says, don't you listen to them. Don't you have any part with them. And you know what the problem is today? It used to be a man or even a woman would have to work up a congregation and work up some kind of church and everything to get their false doctrine out and get enough money so they could buy some airtime on the radio or the TV. I'll tell you what, YouTube's free and everything else is free. You just get a camera. In fact, you just flip your laptop open. If it has a camera on it, you hit a button and instantly for free, you're projecting all your false lies out to whoever will listen. There's no barriers anymore to false teaching. The flip side is there's no barriers for us to preach all over the world either, praise God. But he's saying there's a warning there. And what he's saying, I believe Peter is saying, listen, in judgment, it's going to be worse for the ones that knew the true faith and walked away than those that never knew the true faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that. So, if there's warnings, if there's a possibility to leave the faith, if there's a possibility to have the names, your name blotted out of the book of life, if the judgment will be worse for those people, what do we do? Number one, we don't endlessly argue over it. This could be something, like I said, you could divide, you could argue. And I've had good conversations with brethren that believe the other way, and it's all right. It's good for us to challenge each other. It's good for us to be able to share the Word of God, but I will refuse to get into an argument about it. I'm just going to say, here's what I believe based on the Scripture, that there is a real danger there. Because the opposite is saying, well, if this person, you know, maybe this person was in church, and this person, you know, made a profession of faith. They prayed and they did different things. They got baptized and all that stuff. They worked in the church and then they walk away later. The easy way out, I think, is to say, well, they were never saved. And that's what you hear a lot of times. I'm not going to argue because here's the thing. Whether they were saved and now they're not, or they were never saved, the end result is they're going to hell. That's the end result. Either way. They're lost and they need Jesus Christ. But for me, there's too many warnings in the Bible for me to not preach that there's a danger.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know exactly how far you can go. I don't know. I know God's merciful. I know that I know He loves you. I know the Holy Spirit will convict you. I know He will try to bring you back to Him. I don't know how far you can go. And I'm not interested in how far away I can get from God's will and still be okay. I don't want to be a Lot in this life where he makes it out of Sodom, but he loses everything in his life. That's not what I want to be. I want to try to be as close to God as I can be. So if you're going to come to me and ask how far can I go, I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't even take a teeny step away from God's will. You should be right in the center.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And if I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, then I've caused you a little discomfort in this life and you'll be in heaven.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. If they're wrong, you thought you were okay and you weren't.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't do that.
Bless you, Lord.
So what's the Bible say we need to do for people that have walked away from the faith? Whatever you want to call it. Whether you call it backsliding, whatever. Doesn't matter. Again, I'm not going to argue over labels. Whatever you want to call it, same thing. James 5:19-20 says this, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You see what that says? Someone who was once in the truth and they walked away, and there were some other brethren that went to that person and got to them and said, listen, you are on the wrong path. You're believing the wrong thing. I don't know how you got caught up in this false teacher, this false doctrine, but you need to get back to the Bible. What James is saying is if that person ends up turning from the error back to the truth, you have saved their soul from death.
Yeah.
You see what that says? You know what that tells me? James is telling us we cannot give up on those that walk away from the faith. We can't. It's our job to go after them. And I'm telling you, we're not going to be able to save all of them, but we have got to tell them the truth. You know, I've ran into that a couple times. There was someone I've known for a long time that started posting some weird things on Facebook. And I asked her, I said, where did you get that from? And she posted more of the weird stuff, but she posted enough unique weird stuff that I was able to Google it and find this guy. She was listening to some goofball on YouTube that had no congregation that was saying that Jesus never claimed to be God. And I told her, I said, that is heresy. And I said, that is devilish. And I said, that's dangerous. You are spreading that. And I said, number one, you're in trouble. And everyone you're spreading that to, you're leading them down the wrong path. I said, Jesus made it clear throughout the Gospels that he was God. Yeah. In fact, that's why they killed him.
That's right.
Right? That's it. That's why they're always mad at him all the time. You know what happened? She realized what had gone on. But that was just one instance. It's not always that way. Sometimes people go away, they hear these slick things, and they think, man, this sounds good, it feels good, it makes more sense with my life, and then they're just gone. But I tell you what, we can't give up on them. We've got to continue to pray for them,
yeah.
Right? We've got to reason with them, with the scriptures, not argue with them, remind them of the truth that they once followed, and let the Holy Spirit do that work. Because he can remind, he can bring things back. And some will be converted from the error for their ways and saved from death. Our job's not to guess who would be a good candidate to come back, but everyone that wanders away to false doctrine, we need to remind them of the truth of Jesus Christ. But that's what we do for others that walk away. What do we do for ourselves? Last verse, 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You know what that tells me? Every single one of us needs to look inside and say, what am I trusting in today? What am I trusting in to get to heaven? Because like we started with, if you're trusting on anything, and I've had this conversation with quite a few people, you'd be surprised how many people call me and the conversation is, I want to become a member of your church. I don't know the person, or maybe they show up one time and now they want to be a member. And I tell them pretty clearly, I say, listen, I know, a lot of churches put church membership on a higher thing than I do. It's not really high on my book, and I'll tell you why. Because so many people get caught up in that being the way to get to heaven.
Yeah.
It's not. So I have to turn and tell them, listen, you want to be a member of this church? Great. You know what it takes to be a member? You got to come and you got to work. Are you still interested? But also you got to be saved by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I explain to them every time, I say, this is how the Bible says you need to be saved. And some people are okay with it. Some people want to get saved. And then others, they want to go to the next place that will put them on a book and give them some false assurance. So the Bible says, examine yourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you have never admitted that you're a sinner,
and
you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, in his work on the cross for your salvation, and the fact that he died and rose again, you've never admitted that, and you've never called on Jesus' name. There's never been a time. You may not remember the day. You may not remember different things like that, but you probably remember the place. You probably remember not the words you say, but you remember where you were at, and you realized you were a sinner, and you prayed to God, and He saved your soul. If there's never been a time you've done that, you are not saved. And I know that hurts, and I know that it may break your feelings, and I don't care if you've been in church all of your life. There's been many people that have grown up in church, you know, played music, done all kinds of things, and then all of a sudden realized, my goodness, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I've been in this thing a long time. I've even got titles in the church. I've done this. I've done that for the Lord. And then, my goodness, I need Jesus.
Yeah.
I've never done what it takes. I've never followed the gospel. I'll tell you what, it's better to realize the error now.
Yeah.
Then later on, you say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these things in your name? And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Examine yourselves.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to scare you, and I'm not here to... I'll go back to what I said at the beginning. We don't keep our faith by works, thank goodness. We sin so often. I think that's what some people, you know, because here's the, I've given you the, you know, kind of the one side where, you know, you know, you were never saved, I guess, or once saved, always saved. But I'll give you the other extreme. You commit one sin and you're not saved anymore. That's devilish too.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I tell people that believe in that? You sin more than you think you sin.
Yeah.
You better get back in the Bible and see how often we sin every day.
Right.
It's constant.
Yeah.
We don't do God's will all the time.
Right.
We know to do good, and how often do we not
do
it?
Right.
My goodness. And everything else. Aren't you glad we have a loving Savior?
Yes.
That in spite of all that, He loved us, He died for us, He saved our soul, so that we can, and then I didn't even bring it in, but in the book of 1 John, 1 John makes it clear, especially in chapter 5, we can know that we're saved without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
We don't have to wait to see if the good deeds outweigh the bad, because it's not about that. It's about Him. We can know. And if you don't know tonight, He says to examine yourself whether you be in the faith, the true faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. Prove your own selves. Know yourselves how that Jesus is in you. If you're saved, He's in you. Holy Spirit dwells within. You're sealed, except you be reprobates. I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
Not because I'm the pastor. Not because I'm a pretty good person. Not because I grew up and spent, you know, a whole bunch of years in this church. But because Jesus saved my soul.
Yes, amen.
But if I decide tomorrow to change my faith in Jesus Christ to something else, the Bible says, don't do it. Right? And if I do that, you know what you guys have to do? You got to keep going. You need to give me the truth. And if any of us does that, we need to go after that person and say, hey, you're on the wrong path. You're on the path that goes back to hell. You know what you need to do? Get back to the light. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.